help us to commence this evening with hymn 515. Hymn 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee. Raise the dead, the captive free. From the mighty take the prey. Teach the weak to watch and pray. Hymn 515.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the first book of Samuel, chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30. The first book of Samuel, chapter 30. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, and they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, therefore thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So went he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kirathites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them with the David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, "Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them that were in Bethel, and to them that were in the south Ramoth, and to them that were in Jatter, and to them which were in Aroa, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Coration, and to them which were in Athak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt." Let us pray. Most holy, gracious, ever merciful, long-suffering Lord God, the eternal God, the God of heaven, Lord of all things, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we bow before thee this evening at this time of public worship, and we come poor and needy, needing the Holy Ghost to worship thee aright this evening. Let there be true worship in our hearts. Lord, even if some of the friends feel to hardly know thee as thou art, yet may they worship thy name and pray earnestly, fervently, to have their eyes opened and their understanding enlightened, to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. How we need to come confessing our sins. How can we confess our sins, Lord, except we know something of them, and the evil of them, and the bitterness of them? How this is very necessary for us in worship and at all times. So we would come, Lord, with an honest heart, ashamed and part afraid because of our nature, our sinnership, for we are born under the curse of the holy law and are children of wrath, Lord, by nature. But oh, may there be those here, and may we be found among them. And we believe there are those here who have heard thy voice in some way or another, and who have known thy call, or that blessed call to another place, another world, a heavenly kingdom, a call, Lord, and it is but a narrow way. It is a path of which the fowl knoweth not. So we, Lord, come in this way, prayerfully, to worship this narrow way. And Jesus only is this way. Oh, we do pray, O blessed Son of David, Son of God, oh, do make thy presence known this night, and do reveal thy glorious name and person to those who are empty and fail to know thee not, and those that do know thee are certainly seeking more knowledge, more blessing, more life in that knowledge of thee, that breath of eternal life. Lord, but there is a drawing from earthly things, and oh dear, how all of us seem to cling to these dying riches of this life. Oh, we do come then with a groan in our heart. Son of David, still have mercy on us now, and undertake for us in this service. Lord, we do want to know thee. We don't want just to come and preach. We don't want just to come and see the friends. Oh, we need thee. Lord, thou knowest every spirit that groans and longs for thee and cries out to thee for a nearness, a sense of thy love and grace, and have some realization within their life that they are being prepared for a heavenly kingdom. Or may we have that witness, we are being prepared. Lord, we can all believe naturally, but it must be the Spirit to work, and he will humble, and thou wilt humble, and thou wilt make us dependent, utterly dependent on thee. Lord, remove all self-confidence and all the religiosity of our nature that joins in to the spiritual worship, or tries to. Dear Lord, do help us then. Be exalted, O Lamb of God. Oh, we do fall down now and would stand in awe and wonder without presumption, fearing, trembling of presumption, to know that thou hast called us to follow thee. This is not presumption, it's tremendous. O Lord, and we cannot get a heart to understand why, for the glory is thine, for thy glory and for thy honour for ever and ever. But if we have an hour of need, and oh, be exalted, O Lamb of God, in our lives, condescend to us. O thou that savest unto the uttermost, do shine at this time. Remember this house of prayer, the friends that gather, those that bear office, the deacons, strengthen them and help them. One in his lonely pathway may have those little times of real rejoicing that his loved one is in glory with thee forever, beyond all the sorrow, affliction, care of this lower world. Bless them indeed, both of them there, and another with his business, both of them with their businesses, and another with his family and their families, their children. O Lord, let thy work appear, and all those in the church, remember them each and their affairs and their matters, O Lord, and their families, and those that are lonely and plough a lonely furrow alone. O Lord Jesus, be very gracious to them. Oh, thy grace is so needed in our lives, and keep us lively and exercised. And it is a narrow way and a humble way. So do remember each. Remember aged friends, be gracious to them and help them. Visit them, be near them. Eternity is so close, so near. We cannot comprehend it, how close. Eternity, tremendous sound. To guilty souls, a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet those accents. How divine. So we lift up our heart now for thy blessing. Remember all in middle life, heat and burden of the day, having come from the business world to the silence of thy courts, the sacredness of thy courts. O Lord, grant them that blessing from on high. Remember younger friends going forth in life, in business, study. Bless the children, the sweet babes, the little ones. We thank thee for them and for recent ones born. We do acknowledge. May they be heirs of glory. Give parents wisdom at all times to nurture their children in thy fear. Remember the Sunday school here. Grant help to those who teach. Grant wisdom and help to unfold simply thy word unto the younger friends. May the dear children be wrought upon even in tender years. O Lord, oh, we pray for this. So remember each at this time. Think of all in affliction, pain, suffering, hard to endure. Be gracious unto each. Put forth thy healing hand unto them, we humbly pray. So remember thy dear people in whatever circumstance they are found. O Lord, those that have been rebels in former years, may they be brought down to thy dear feet to worship thee, O Lord, and to wash thy feet, as it were, with their tears, with thanksgiving and wonder. Or bring us close by whatever means. O Lord, and we know, Lord, that thy dealings can be very solemn at times, very humbling. O Lord, oh, do have mercy on us. So remember our group of churches, remember this house of prayer, remember our group of churches. Pray for the editors of our denominational magazines and secretaries of our charitable societies. Do bless them in their labours, Lord. And do grant them that encouragement. Remembrance of thy servants, we know a number in affliction and loneliness and care and with many concerns. Pray for them, the pastors and those that are itinerant. We pray for Zion. We think of those, the pastor at Lamberhurst, remember him and his lonely pathway. Be gracious to him, strengthen him, and be with him and help him. O Lord, we humbly pray. The lonely pathway. The connected family and the children. O Lord, O dear Jesus, be gracious. Lord Jesus, shine. Lord Jesus, help. Lord Jesus, come in all the fiery trials. So, dear Lord, remember our group of churches. Remember thy one spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth, unknown to us, thy people in this land, in whatever denomination they may be in, those that know thee, and through the earth. O Lord, do remember this poor earth at this time of pandemic still. O Lord, have mercy on us in the nations. And we pray to have mercy on England. Remember our Prime Minister and leaders. Many things shake us. We're exhorted to pray for them. The Apostle Paul exhorted us to. Lord, we think of the Roman emperors and their utter wickedness. And we think of our leaders in this land, deception. O Lord, but thou reignest. May we be looking beyond men up unto thee and not get involved in this earthly scene so closely. So remember our leaders, raise up their men in Parliament who will fear thy name, men of integrity to rule over us. Remember our Queen. We thank you for stability over the years. And as we've read something in the simple terms of her desires after thee and what the anointing meant and so forth, we do hope and pray that she has been in measure taught of thee. Eternity is so close to her now. Be gracious unto her and bless her. We thank you for her stability and for her reign. Lord, but we pray for our country to undertake for us when she is gone. Undertake for us in the throne. Appear for us in this land. Above all else, do send forth those out of Zion, as in former years, under the power of the Holy Ghost, to blow the trumpet, to sound the alarm. O Lord, as in former years, turn us unto thee as a nation, repentance if it can be thy will. Now, Lord, thou art worthy of our praise, and we would thank thee for every mercy we have. Open our eyes to thy tender mercies. Lord, how often we get so complaining and cast down with the trials, but surrounded with mercies. O Lord, help us to value them. Help us to worship thee in them. Help us to know thee in them. So do hear us then in heaven thy dwelling place. Remember friends away at this time, taking rest and change. Be with them. Grant that safe return. So Lord, we would then bow now and acknowledge thy great spiritual mercies to us a great high priest in heaven. His precious blood, O Lord Jesus, thy dying love, that blood that cleanses from all sin, may we be hiding there. We need to, we must do. Let us not think we are by thinking about it. Oh, may we truly be hiding there, bowing, pleading, beholding thee. Oh, how we need that divine teaching. We cannot give it to ourselves, Lord. We cannot do it ourselves. It must be of thee. Oh, have compassion on us. Why shouldst thou have mercy? Why should any man be favoured of God? Oh, thou art sovereign. Pass us not by. Blessed Son of God, come and abide with us. It is toward evening. The day is far spent. Come, come. So we acknowledge so many mercies. The doors of Zion open. We have a throne of grace, a great high priest. We have thy precious blood. Oh, we acknowledge these tremendous things. But may they be life and power unto us. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Bless the singer of thy worthy praise. Holy Spirit, come, bring forth the glory of the Son of God. Blessed Jesus, shine, hear our prayers and cries. Be with us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We plead all things, eternal life and blessing now in true worship, in the name of thy provision, thine only begotten one, and ask humbly for eternal life and blessing now, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 513. In mounts of danger and of straits, my soul for his salvation waits. Jehovah Jireh will appear and save me from my gloomy fear. Hymn 513.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord for any help and blessing, I draw your attention to the book of Psalms, Psalm 62 and verse 8. Psalm 62 and verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, a Selah. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. In the reading, we read of David and they that were with him lifting up their voices and weeping in bitterness for their loss, their great loss. But we also read this, when his followers spake of stoning him, we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Dear friends, those among us who the Lord has been gracious to in measure, may we truly encourage, be given that grace in a time of trouble to encourage ourselves in what the Lord has done for us. There may be those who cannot speak of anything great, anything particular perhaps, but may they be encouraged to trust in him as a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Thou God seest me. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. Nothing. May we ever remember this. Our life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye, and he knows our inner thoughts. He knows what we were thinking upon as we came along to chapel. He knows what you were thinking of when you got up in the morning and showered or whatever you might have done, where your thoughts were. No doubt, lawful thoughts on the day ahead. But all that the Lord sees and even reads your thoughts and the intentions of the heart. From this God who we worship, desire to worship, long to worship aright, that knoweth more about us than we know about ourselves. It's a very humbling thought. Now you may remember, and it's a good thing, as in the Song of Moses in Deuteronomy, to remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these many years in the wilderness, 40 years or whatever in the wilderness. But what we don't know is the future. We know this, that is appointed unto us to die. But in the pathway and where preparation, we know nothing of it. We might assume certain things. We know we've got a business to tend to tomorrow and so forth. But we don't know how we will, I hope, to preach tomorrow evening, if the Lord will, at Pickhill. But I don't know what might intervene. I don't know. And how we need to pray. I don't want to be dramatic. But may that grace be given us, like it was David, to encourage himself in the Lord in all matters that we're wading through. Now let us look at this word. This word, first of all times. It speaks, I suppose, principally of the pathway. But it does include spiritual seasons. Spiritual seasons. Many of God's people know the times of leanness in soul. And you say, how can I trust him? I'm not worthy of it. I've forgotten him times without number. This word can't apply to me because I'm so lean in my spirit. Well, dear friends, what else are you going to do then? Where else can you go? Who else can you cry to? And remember, the Lord does not change. It's something that we do lose sight of. We're going to say to anyone that asks us, does the Lord, no, we'll say, no, the Lord doesn't change, and you'll quite be sure to speak of that. But are you aware that his love is as strong and as great to his church if you've had some favour? We often judge the Lord by how we feel. It is a terrible trap. Dear friend, what do you know of God, of his blessed Son? Have you been led to him in a measure? Has he answered prayer? Has he helped you in times of deep waters? Has he intervened for you? You know, he's worthy of our praise. And may we be like David to this all times, all seasons, all dispensations, what we're wading through. May this trust in him be given to us. Now, trust is a blessing of faith. I would say it was a fairly high degree of faith, trust. If you're trusting something, you're relying on it. You're not relying on your faith, you're relying on the Lord. Faith doesn't rely on itself. Living faith relies on the Lord God, on the Son of God, what he has said and what he's done, what he's made known, and what his word might declare if you feel you have limited understanding and knowledge of the blessed Son of God. Well, may it be given to us, even at this time, trust in him. What are we going to trust in, dear friends, as sinners? As sinners. If we're taught our sinnership, what can we... We've no right to trust. If we discover our sinnership, it's very discouraging. It's very frightening to realise that this holy, just God will deal with us according to our deeds done in the body. And even the church don't escape that. According to our walk and pathway, there is a judgment day coming. But oh, dear friends, in him, who the Saviour. I was saying to the friends at tea time this evening, you know, Christ is our shepherd. He's the head of the church. He is the Saviour of his people. The sheep look to the shepherd. Without a shepherd to look after them, they'll wander anywhere. Christ is the good shepherd. Now may we be trusting his eye upon us, knowing our circumstances. May we be trusting in what he's made known to us and his word. And as sinners, oh, can we trust in that fountain open for sin and uncleanness? You will say, but surely it must be given us. Yes, friend, it has to be given us. But faith has to be given us. Faith is the gift of God. Therefore, this trust is his blessing to you. If you have a measure of trust, it doesn't come from nature. Nature is alienated from God. This trust is a gift of God. And here it says at all times. Now, we may be given the grace to trust him at certain times. And there are seasons, I'm sure his people here have had seasons where there's been a greater, perhaps I say greater, an increased measure of trust than at other times. But here, David, is communing to himself, singing the psalm, penning the psalm under the power of grace of the Spirit for public worship, and says, trust in him at all times. A poor sinner, the dying lamb. What was it for? He died for sinners. Are you one? Are you one? He gave his life a ransom for sinners. Friend, sinners are worthless characters, you know. They're not worth anything. They're lost and ruined. And if you're a sinner, you, for your utter unworthiness, your utter helplessness. But here, can we trust this Son of God willingly came down to do the will of his Father? Can you trust the grace and love of God the Father to send his Son, that sinners like ourselves could be brought to know something of him and to trust and plead his word, his precious blood, his dying love? I know the Holy Ghost can bring very low under conviction of sin, very low, and a word like this tonight to anyone who may be in a low place, maybe a little beyond them, beyond any hope for them. But here David, who, as we know, went through myriads of different dispensations prior to being king, also as king. And here, by this gracious experience, he can pen for public worship, trust in him at all times as a poor sinner. His dying. Do you want to know more of it? Pray on. Pray on. Do you believe he answers prayer? He does answer prayer. Do you believe he hears prayer? Friend, I've said already, he does hear and know more of our inner thoughts than we know of ourselves. You can't remember what you were thinking a week ago or a year ago, can you? God knows. God knows infinity. Vast knowledge. The glory of God. And he puts his tears in his bottle, as it were. They're written in his book, his book of life, book of deeds done. Trust in him at all times. Today, in your sorrow, in your care, that this man hears the cries of sinners repenting, sinners in sorrow, sinners weeping, sinners ashamed, sinners who do not know how to hardly to pray or even bring forth a prayer, sinners who feel so ignorant of themselves and of the Lord. Ignorance can be very discouraging, you know, but we only know in eternal life, we only know what's been given us. You might know a lot about religion. You might be able to quote 1,000 texts out of the Bible. But it's the blessing of God that maketh rich. It's have the Lord with us. It has the Spirit welling up within and prompting us in prayer. Now you know about this, but are you walking the pathway? Oh, you say, oh, I'm not walking this pathway. I'm so lean, I'm so barren. Oh, he does hear your groans. He does hear your cries. Can you trust in him? The Saviour's dying love, his compassion. Oh, this God of heaven, this Son of God. Oh, why did he come down? Did he have to come down? Well, the answer to that is yes. He must redeem his sheep. It's a tremendous truth, isn't it? He must come down and die. He must. And that willingly he delighted to do his Father's will. Oh, the wonders of this grace of God They're toward his sheep. And they are sinners. You know, it's the sheep who feel their sinnership. If I don't want to speak wrongly or unkindly here, highfalutin way, but you know, goats don't feel their sinnership. Well, they might know they're goats, but they don't know anything more. They don't groan under their sinnership. And perhaps there's someone saying, "Well, I don't groan enough." Dear friends, if you've been doing some groaning, it's bitter enough, isn't it? The sins within and corruption. So in your pathway, in your dispensations, in your life, trust in him at all times. At all times. What you're passing through. And the worry ahead. Some matter before you. Trust in him at all times. And then there are thoughts like this. Sickness, illness, pain, tribulation in family, sorrows in Zion, whatever it might be. The Lord reigneth. He knows. He knows. Oh, can you trust in him? David was brought to it. Look at David's life. Look at how the Lord had chastised him for his folly. And more than once, trust in him. It says here, at all times. I'm very thankful for that, you know. You know, it could read, or I wouldn't say anything wrong here, but trust in him, ye people. But it says, at all times. The Holy Ghost, God's foreknowledge, has put this here in David's heart to pen for the church down to the end of time. For what God foreknew, this modern age in which we live, this complicated age, a serious age in which we live, can we trust in him at all times? May this grace be given unto us, dear friends. But dear David has this blessed trust. Oh, pray for it. Pray for it, this increased faith. And then simply he goes on to pray, ye people. And David here, in penning this under the Spirit's power, has God's people in view. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. It doesn't say your prayer. It says your heart. Your heart, the very essence of your inner feeling, inner breath, that which lies deep within, that affects you continually, your concerns and affairs, your soul situation, eternity near, the judgment to come. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. Tell him everything. Hold nothing back. It's a wonderful thing, prayer. You know, what the Lord is pressing you on, you go to him over to manage. It's a tremendous thing, is prayer. The Lord leading you, unknown to yourself, pressing your heart in sorrow, and you pour out your requests unto God, that God is already affecting you with. It is worship, dear friends. You're going to him who is dealing with you. But he says, pour out. When a pouring out takes place, it's not dripping, is it? It's actually pouring out. And there's an emptying, casting your burden upon him, your soul care, your grief, everything. The unknown way, provision in the way, to undertake for you, to show you his way. The dear Apostle Paul began to, on the Damascus Road, there was a beginning of pouring out his heart to the Lord. You know, who art thou, Lord? What a question. And look at the grace of God. You know, those that touch the Lord's people touch the apple of God's eye. And that's what Saul of Tarsus was doing. And yet, a shock. Who art thou? And then this beginning of pouring out, you know, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord told him to go into the city and so forth. And he spoke to Ananias concerning. Ananias said, oh, no, I've heard of this man. You know, go thy way, a chosen vessel unto me. I've shown him, it's a wonderful word this, what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But for my name's sake, for my glory. Oh, pour out, ye people. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. What a mercy you can. You know, we can pour out our cares to loved ones, to your best friend. And once you've poured it out, you've still got nothing resolved, have you? Perhaps you're in trouble, and you pour out your sorrow and tell them, and you think, well, it's a help to tell somebody, but they're as helpless to help you as you're helpless to help yourself. There's nothing you can do. You're pouring out your heart to one, a present help in trouble. A present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. What a blessed word. A very present help in trouble. Oh, to pour out your soul before the Lord with everything. All the confessions, all the groans, all the requests. Things to ask for blessings you don't deserve. Ask for blessings you would hesitate to even contemplate could be sent your way from heaven. Pour out your soul before him. It means holding nothing back. Empty out your care unto him. Ye people, says David, pour out your heart before him. It's a wonderful principle. And I do love this. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus' priesthood, you know. It's a very precious matter. I know. And, you know, God's mysterious dealings. I thought of this coming up. You know, they asked a king to be like other nations. And God was displeased with them for it. And Samuel had to deal with them in the matter. And although God was displeased, as he was their king, yet he had David in view to be raised up, and the son of David. See God's mysterious dealings. They were wrong to ask for the king. They wanted to be like other nations. Samuel had to rebuke them, but God had a purpose. Now, think of your own pathway. Mysterious things. Yet God has a purpose. He's got a purpose of grace in your heart. There might be those things which don't seem right or seem crooked. Only he can make crooked things straight and rough places plain. But all the priesthood of the dear Redeemer is a very, very precious subject. You know, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You think about it. You know, but was tempted in all points, but was in all points tempted. Christ tempted in all points, but without sin. He was not a sinner. That sin was never in him, could never be in him. He was the divine one, the holy one, yet He had the body of the man, the manhood of Christ. Tremendous thing. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And it says, seeing then, dear friends, seeing we do have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our hope, our trust, our faith in him. Now, that doesn't mean you can hold it fast yourself, but to trust he has called. He has made you alive. Made you alive. No great things, no great noise. He's made you alive. Brought you to understand that his way and to know your heart and your tremendous need. Well, you know, pour out your, what a great high priest. And, you know, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, honouring the law, and perfect for his people, and fulfilling the law of God by yielding up his life and suffering and shedding his blood, fulfilling all the types in the Old Testament, all that went before. What a merciful, gracious high priest we have in heaven. Well, make your request known. Be careful for nothing. Be not over careful. Oh, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled over many things. And so are we. So are we. But one thing is needful. Now look at Mary. Look at your sister. One thing is needful. Or maybe not be. Be careful for nothing, says Peter. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Your requests made known. What is thy petition, Queen Esther? She was asking for a life, and for the life of her people. She wasn't seeking immediate vengeance on the enemy, Haman. No, but my life, my life, my life. Dear friend, is your religion asking your prayer for eternal life, your life to be spared? Lord, save me. Perhaps you are feeling, if only the Lord Jesus would reveal himself to me, then I shall be happy. You will be if he does. But there's still a pathway to walk. There's still a pathway to go on. There's still a pathway of temptation. Your great high priest was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And you follow in his footsteps. I'm not trying to be discouraged. It's discouraging, friends. But, oh, pour out your heart, everything before him. Ye people, pour it out. Joseph, sue it out. The Holy Ghost, thy witness. Well, ye people, everything, pour out your heart before him, not to others. I believe I've known this in a measure, even in the early days when the Lord had mercy on me. I went home, someone met me and bellowed at me. He was actually a friend, and I believe he fears God, knows the Lord. But he was cross with me, and it was a complete misunderstanding. I hadn't done him any harm at all. And he bellowed at me, although down the bottom where I lived in my road, my parents' road. And I went home. I got away in my bedroom, went on my knees, and asked the Lord to undertake for me. And about an hour later, there was a knock at the door. And there was he at the door, weeping, full of apology. Full of apology. Now, the Lord did that because I didn't know anything about it. You know, it's a simple illustration, but it's something I can't forget. And oh, that I could act on it now, instead of moaning and groaning about to everyone else and talking about the sad times in which we pour out your heart before him. Pour it out. The Lord does answer prayer, dear friends. He does. He does. He goes on to say, God is a refuge for us. What's a refuge? A secure place. A refuge is a secure place. Here the word says God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God is a refuge for us. Bearing in mind, as I said just now, that God spake from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. His beloved Son, sent to suffer for us. Go to your great high priest, the Son of God, the God-man, Christ Jesus, a refuge, a refuge. Do you need a refuge? I'm being simple. Do you need a refuge? Maybe you found a refuge, but dear friend, you'll need the refuge again. Think of the time of trouble, the time of trial, the time of loss, and the time of departure cometh on. Death rolls on apace. Friend, can you be callous about dying? Can you say, oh, I'll be all right? God forbid. God forbid. Can you make Jesus shine? Yes, you believe he will shine. I hope and believe he will. I can't make him, though. And if you'll talk to the Lord, you know you have times and seasons in faith. Sometimes the Lord is near. Sometimes he favours. And sometimes he seems to be withholding. But he's a refuge, a secure place of safety. Well, ye people, pour out everything. Oh, for more prayer. You know, I believe God's people long to be able to pray more. And then they get an opportunity and they think they're going to pray. And then they find they can't give themselves that prayer that they thought they might be offering to the Lord. Even tell him that. And ask for a spirit of prayer and a spirit of grace. He's a refuge, a secure place. And God's word in your heart, as given, is a security to you. It's a secure place. It's your dwelling place. You know, I in them, praise Christ, to his Father, and thou in me. What a union. What a union. Are you in Christ? You're one in the Father. Through Christ and in Christ. High doctrine, but it's true, you know. Who are denying, cursing, swearing Peter? I said on Lord's Day, we don't quite realise the seriousness of what Peter did. We've got used to reading the Bible. We knew from a child that he denied his master, his Lord. It was a serious thing. It was an awful thing he did. But he felt it. And you and I, not entering into it, but what he must have felt. What he must have felt. Friends, and our sins are serious. But he's a refuge. Oh, that precious sin atoning sacrifice. God is a refuge for us. And God, in the sense of his Father, his glorious high person, sent his only begotten Son with that salvation in his heart. He delighted to do his Father's will. That was his Father's will to save. And to save those whom he'd chosen. Can you trust him? Oh, dear friends, Have you been led to pray in a little measure? Poor prayers, aren't they? You know, but he's not a poor saviour. He's a blessed high priest. He knows what all that temptation is, all that sorrow. And there's also this, and I should have mentioned this earlier. He was made sin by imputation, and he bore the shame that you might feel, and the guilt that you might feel, as he was charged. He was not guilty himself, God forbid, but he was charged, and he bore the reproach of his people. Oh, do you groan under some reproach? The dear Redeemer has borne that reproach. Well, he is a refuge, a secure place for us. You know, David in this psalm says, another good word, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Only. See the words? See the word, only. Only. And it means nowhere else, as you know. Wait, own my soul. David is here communing to his own breast. My soul, wait thou only upon God. He makes another statement. For my expectation is from him. You know, God's people have an expectation. An expectation of love and grace when they die. An expectation to be with Christ, whom their soul loveth, whom they long for, to get to heaven, to be delivered from all fear and all sorrow in death. Now, we can't assume that, can we? But that's the expectation. David had many expectations concerning his anointing as king over Israel and the Lord's word to him. You know, my soul, wait thou only upon God, only, only. For my expectation is from him. And he says twice in this psalm, you know, truly my soul awaiteth upon God. And it is a tremendous thing. You know, from him cometh my salvation. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. I'm waiting for him. And the margin note is silent upon God, or silent before God. And not a multitude of words, but it's the inner trust, the inner looking, the inner waiting. Oh, have you the inner trust, the inner waiting, the inner looking? You can't always put a prayer together. But oh, thou God, seest me, thou seest me. There's a wonderful word in the prophet. I've seen his ways and will heal him. Restore unto him. And restore unto him and his mourners. It's in Isaiah, isn't it? I've seen his ways. I've seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also. Oh, the goodness of God. I've seen his ways and will heal him. This is God's mercy. You know, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness, now listen, covetousness, was I wroth and smote him. Smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly or perversely in the way of his heart. I've seen his ways, I've seen this, and will heal him. Free grace, dear friends, free grace. I've seen this, I've seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Grace, dear friends, grace. Oh, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him, oh, him cometh my salvation. From the Lord himself. Yes, through the ministry, through the reading of the word, from something someone might say, but it comes from God. The man, your friend, or it might be, you might talk with, is just an instrument. It's come from God, not from the person. And, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defence. I shall not be moved. Now, trust in him at all times. May that grace be given us to do so. It's a high degree of faith to trust. And when there is a trust, there cometh a measure of peace and quietness. There might be tribulation, but quietness and trusting in it, in the pathway, in the trial. I'm so sure some of you have known this in a measure. I'm sure you have. And ye people, pour out everything, hold nothing back, tell him everything. And why a glorious, merciful high priest, a friend of publicans and sinners, you think of the tender, you know, God is a tender God. There are tender mercies spoken of in the word of God. He's a holy God. God is love. Why do we fear his name? Why do we tremble? Because of sinnership. Sin entered into the world. Oh, Adam and Eve, what they must have felt. Oh, the change that came. They walked with God. Yet, oh, what a driven out now. By that same God they walk with. Driven out. Why? Because God cannot look upon sin with any pleasure. And he doesn't look on our sin with any pleasure. But he redeems their life from destruction. Pour out your heart before him. Wonderful word. God is a refuge for us. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parish is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Wheatley next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, and now, forever.